my name is Brandy Mays, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about myself. I'm 35 years of age. I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. I live in a household of 10 brothers and 6 sisters by the same parents. Growing up, it was very hard, difficult, overwhelmed, outrageous. My father, he was sometimes drunk, sometimes okay, sometimes cool, bad, mad, sad. My mother, she always agreed to things that my father said. My father got drunk. Sometimes he used to beat us and put his hands on us, and which caused my downfall of me running away from home, leaving my young siblings or else my older siblings behind. I was 16 years old when I ran away from home because of the abuse of my father. I was 16 when I ran away. When I ran away from home, I had nowhere to live, nowhere to stay. I began to ask for money to buy food. I was sleeping behind a pizza place, Domino's Pizza in Memphis, Tennessee. And I began to eat food from the trash can because I was hungry. I remember one day when I ran away from home, I needed clothes and shower and stuff like that. And so I met this guy. He was an undercover officer. And he asked if he'd give me money that he would help me get some clothes and some food and things like that. Which at the age of 16 years old, it sounded so good because I didn't have no clothes or nowhere to stay and nothing like that. So as time goes on, I began to sell my body for money and materialistic things just to survive, just to have clothes and food and a little motel to sleep in. At the age of 16, I was afraid to go back home still. So years passed by, and I was 17 years old. I did this all the way up until 17. And at the age of 17, you know, from 16 to 17, I began to get a little bitter at what I was doing. So I began to, I had a fake ID, and I went to the script clubs to dance, entertainment clubs to dance, and just dance for money and trying to get money the seems like better way, but it wasn't a better way. No way that it was better for my life. But at the time, by me being so young, I thought it was a good thing because it was the money I was making. So at the age of 17 years old, I began to be more of street knowledge than anything. So at this time, my parents had already left Memphis, Tennessee. They had already went to California, and I had never in my life been to California. Didn't know nothing about California. At the time, you know, I was young, like I said, and I thought California was just like a movie. Like, California, what is that? So I was 17, going on 18 years old, when I realized that my parents left Memphis, Tennessee to go to California. I left Memphis, Tennessee, and came to Sacramento, California, where I stayed with my parents for a while. And at the time, before I even hit California, I was afraid even to come back home because my daddy, he was a very abusive guy. He was really strict, you know, on all the girls, definitely on me. He was really strict to some fact that I was afraid to go home. But when I did go home, it wasn't the same, but it was the same. His drinking continued. You know, it was the same because I began to get more of a attention for my body that I'm getting older. You know, my 18th birthday was only in 2 months, so I feel like I was getting a little older, you know, and I need to do some other things instead of just doing the street things. So I had a job working at the 99-cent store. Kept that job for a while until I met this guy that I thought I was in love with. We was together for a while, and he was in and out of jail. And the time when I was 18, I began to have a little more street knowledge, and now I'm in California. So it left off from me working the streets to me having a job to me going back working the streets. But at the time, see, in Tennessee, it's like less money. In California, it was like more money. So I was a professional and what I was doing. So I began to hit Vegas. I began to hit New York City and make, I was making so much money. Making like $15,000-$20,000 almost a night, you know, just dancing in the strip club or just doing bachelor parties and living the half dead life I thought I was living, which I thought was a good life. So in 2010, I was arrested for murder. I got arrested for being in the wrong place in the wrong time, which caused my downfall. And while I was in Sacramento County Jail, I was looking at life without. You know, they wanted to give me a lot of time for something that I didn't do, for something that I was, I have no clue of what had happened, what took place. But while I was in there, my heart was bitter. I didn't know God. I was religion, didn't have no relationship. At that time, my family had already left Sacramento, California, and moved back to Memphis, Tennessee. And I felt lonely. I felt, you know, suicidal, like deprived, like the whole world was against me. You know, God didn't love me. The whole world, all the time, I felt like that everybody was against me. So I fought my case. You know, I had a public defender. I didn't have no paid lawyer because I couldn't afford it. I fought my case for 3.5 years in Sacramento County Jail. While I was in there, I just thought about a lot of things that I could have done better. If I had done this, what if I had did this, what if I had just said this, what if I had just went that way, you know, I would never be in here. You know, if I have not done this so much for my family, well, not done this so much for other people. So I was blaming myself and along with other people. So in 2010, you know, in Sacramento County Jail, it was really tough. You know, you're on lockdown 24 hours a day, 7 days a week down there in Sacramento Jail. And that's the worst jail to me in the United States. Every jail is worse. I know jail is good, but jail is jail. But Sacramento County Jail, it's like the officers was really strict, more of abuses of officers to me that was in there. So like, in 2010, I got thrown in this 10 by 10 cell where it was only me and my Bible. And the reason why I got thrown in that cell, because I had gotten into a fight with my roommate, and all the officers there already felt like I was crazy because my crime alone. So they threw me in this little cell, and I was in this little cell by myself a whole year and a half. I didn't come out. I came out only to go court to take a shower, and I had to get thrown back in that cell. And I was in that cell for a whole year and a half, where that's where I found Jesus at. But before I found Jesus, at that time when I was in that cell like 6 months, I was just down, out, wanting to commit suicide. I was making pooch, which is pruno they call it in prison jail. I was making pooch, trying to keep my pain, trying to take the pain away. And I was miserable. I was like I was dead, like I was dying. Nobody loved me. So one day I remember that I stood on top of the table, the brown wooden table, and I was about to hang myself. And there was two voices speaking to me at the same time. One voice said, "Brandon, if you kill yourself, it'll be so much better for you. All the pain will be going away. You won't have to feel no more pain." Another voice said, "Brandon, don't kill yourself because you are going home. Listen to me." So these two voices kept going, and they was going at it back and forth, back and forth. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And I got from the table, and I remember that day when I got from the table, I was crying so hard. I was crying so loud that everybody was like, "Shut up. You gonna get life. Just shut up. Go to sleep." And I cried myself to sleep. And when I cried myself to sleep, I had a dream that this voice came out of nowhere and said, "The only way to get rid of the snake is to jump into the fire." But prior to that, I had a dream about a snake that was wrapping itself around me. The snake wrapped itself around from my ankle to my neck in my dream. And I'm screaming for help. Somebody help me, help. And the voice, that's when the voice came out of nowhere and said, "The only way to get rid of the snake is by jumping to the fire." When I woke up from my sleep, I was like, fire? Like, I don't want to die, even though I tried to kill myself. I was like, I don't want to die. Help, I don't want to die. But the voice that spoke to me, I had no clue who spoke to me and told me to jump into the fire. And why would this voice tell me to kill myself? Why would this voice tell me to jump into the fire? So at the time, even though I can come on my cell, I had wrote a request form to the chapel, because that's the only person I could talk to. That's the only person that the officers would allow me to talk to, was the chapel or the psych or somebody, or the doctor. So I just wrote in my request form to the chapel, because maybe, you know, this is what I was going through. I had no clue it was a spiritual thing. So when 2 days later, the chapel comes and sees me, and she goes and she said, "Calm down, everything gonna be okay." But I'm looking at this lady like, "Everything gonna be okay? I'm in here, I'm looking at life or death. What does she mean, they're gonna be okay?" I'm crying, my nose is bleeding, and I'm dying at the time. I'm just out, gone, my mind is gone. And the chapel lady looked at me, she prays for me first. Then she looks at me, and she said, "Brandy, everything gonna be okay. You're going home. Everything gonna be okay." That's all she kept saying. "You're going home." But the voice comes again. The voice says, "Tell about the dream." So I tell the chapel lady about the dream that I just had. And the chapel looks at me. And she said, "Brandon, who told you to jump into the fire?" And I look at her and I was like as if I didn't know who. But the voice comes again. And the voice said, "All you have to do is say Jesus." And I said to myself, why would Jesus want me to die? Why would Jesus want me to jump into this fire? Why? Who loves me? Jesus don't even love me. Why would Jesus want me to die? And then she said, "Brandon, who told you to jump into the fire?" The snake had me so in bondage that I couldn't even say Jesus. When I finally said Jesus, I began to stutter. And I said, Jesus. When I finally said Jesus' name, the chapel lady, she was speaking in tongues. She was jumping up and down, moving around. And at this time, it was an officer that was in the room with us. She was looking at both of us like we was crazy. Like, what was they doing? Like, we was crazy. But the chapel was speaking in tongues. She was, whoo, hallelujah. And I'm looking at this chapel like, what did she see? Why is she jumping up and down? What's going on? And the chapel touched me. She put both her arms, her hands on my shoulder. She said, "Brandy, that was Jesus. Jesus said, the only way to get rid of the snake is by jumping to the fire." She said, "Have you been reading your Bible?" And I'm like, "My Bible? Like, what my Bible got to do with the fire?" She began speaking in tongues again. Woo! She began to jump up and down and speak in tongues. And I had no clue that the fire meant Bible. That Jesus told me the only way to get rid of the snake, the only way to get rid of the suicide thoughts, the only way to get rid of depression, the only way to get rid of the loneliness, the only way to get rid of the doubt, the only way to get rid of the fear, the only way to get rid of the blaming people is to jump into the fire. So when I get back to my cell, even though I didn't understand the Bible at all, I opened up the Bible to any page and I began to read whatever I could, just long the snake leave me alone, long the darkness cease, long the depression stop, these suicides stop, leave me alone. So I opened my Bible and I began to read whatever I could. And a whole month I did that. A month passed by. I had another dream. This time the snake was around my neck. The same voice that told me to jump into the fire was the same voice that said, "Take the snake off your neck." When I took the snake off my neck, the snake was dead. When I woke up that day, I was happy, free. I had no clue what was going on. I had no clue that I was free indeed. I had no clue. I was walking around my Bible and I was smiling at everybody. I was happy. Even though I was looking at life with that, I was so happy. I was so happy that I couldn't contain my happiness. It was like overflowing riches. It was beyond this earth. It was indescribable that I was free and I had no clue. But 2 days later, the trapper comes back and see me. And this time she comes and visits me. And she said, "You look happy. You look bright." And I was just smiling, just nodding my head up and down like, "Yes, yes." And I had no clue what I was saying yes to. And she said, "Have you had any more dreams?" And I told her about the dream that I had had about the snake around my neck. And again, she jumps up and down. She begins to speak in tongues. Woo! She jumps up and down. And she said, "Do you know what that means, sweetie?" And I shake my head, no, side to side. No, I didn't know what that meant. She said, "You are a dreamer." She said, "God has set you free." And I was like, "Free?" I was like, but I'm still, in my mind, I was like, I'm still looking at life that hot. How did God set me free? She said, "Sweetie, you are free. God has set you free. You are free indeed." And again, she began to speak in tongues, jumping up and down, jumping up and down. And so that day, we spent time talking about the Lord. But when I went back to my cell, I still had no clue what she meant when she said free indeed. But as days goes by, as time goes by, the suicide thoughts had fled. The depression had left me. Because of Jesus broke every chain. Not some chains, but every chain.